So special counsel Jack Smith has dropped the federal election subversion case as it relates to the 2020 and January 6th cases. He said that the department's position is that the Constitution requires that this case be dismissed before the defendant is inaugurated. The outcome is not based on the merits or strength of the case against the defendant. So certainly in one breath saying it's this is what the Constitution requires, but we had the goods on Donald Trump is what Jack Smith is saying. Is this a surprise? Is this seems like this is where it was headed. Let's bring in Todd Flood to break this all down. Todd, it's great to have you. What did you make of the news today that broke that Jack Smith is filing to drop these cases?
No surprise.
Yeah.
It was imminent that that case would go, all the cases, four cases, would go to the wayside. The fact of the matter is that you can't prosecute a sitting president. You can't unduly burden him or encumber him while he's trying to fulfill the nation's duties. Having him sit through a criminal aspect, obviously, is crazy when you're in that position. So there's no surprise here. And the Supreme Court kind of broke it down for all of us in the immunity case into basically three buckets. There is bucket one, where there isn't immunity for someone that's campaigning for president but is not the sitting president. So that's not the case here. Two, there's absolute immunity for a sitting president when he's doing his job, his core, as they put it in quotation marks, his core duties. So the low-lying fruit for us, Chris, would be like pardoning somebody or recognizing a foreign power. Those are, that's low-lying fruit, but that's absolute immunity for things you are doing within your office. Then there's immunity, absolute immunity, but there is a rebuttable presumption. The government can say, well, the decisions he made by us prosecuting him is not harming basically the country. That's a very heavy burden to meet. And the Supreme Court said, we really don't need to get there. We're not going to answer that question. Here's where you're at. He has absolute immunity if he's exercising those duties for his job or his post and his core responsibilities. So this case, the clock ran out on Jack Smith. Mm-hmm. The game's over as far as, the time. So President Trump won. And there is no way on this green earth that he would be prosecuted for a federal case because it goes against all the policies that have been longstanding.
So Judge Tanya Chutkan here now with the ball's in her court. There's no reason that she would act in a way that would go against what Jack Smith is filing for.
We have a separation of powers, right? So she is she's in the judicial branch. The Jack Smith has in his power the prosecutorial standpoint. She can't intervene on his case.
Right.
She can't step in because that's his power. His power through the legislature, and obviously the judge can't step in and say, "No, you must prosecute him." No, that's not her role nor her duty.
I don't want to throw too much of a curveball at you here, but the Manhattan case is really interesting because Alvin Bragg is treating this case like when I go to Costco to buy Eggo waffles for my kids, and we're not going to eat the entire box at once. They got to be frozen. We got to put them on ice or they go bad. It's the same way with this case in Alvin Bragg's eyes. It seems like he's content on just shelving this thing until 4 years down the road, and then when Donald Trump gets out of office, sentencing him. Is there any sort of precedent for that? Is that even possible? What do you make of that case as well?
The state case is different. And it's, to me, of all the cases that were brought, this is the case that I've said before with you and I and others on our station that I think is the weakest because they made this misdemeanor and combined it with the federal statute to make it a felony. To sentence 4 years after seems crazy to me. Now, is there precedence? Well, yeah, there's precedence when someone goes on the lam and they what we call capias. So you're about to be sentenced, and you broke off your tether, and you went on the run for 4 years, and no one could find you. Then you get caught, picked up, and it's 4 or 5 years later. Yeah, you get sentenced on an underlying felony for which you were convicted. But this is far different. It's crazy.
Everybody will know where Donald Trump is every moment of every day for the next four years.
Right. This is crazy. Why would you put our country, why would you put our nation in any kind of peril or jeopardy or thought process of trying to have this way on the president of the United States of America that you want? Dismiss the case. Dismiss it. He's already paid a penalty for having to sit and go through this massive amount of, the trial and tribulations of this thing. Enough already. Yeah. So he has one of three buckets he can do. He can sentence, he can delay, attempt, or he can dismiss. So I don't see him sentencing unless he wants to say, yeah, I'm going to sentence him to time served and fines and be done with it, attempt to delay it, which is crazy to me, and or dismiss, which seems to me to be the obvious gig. We hate setting aside jury verdicts. We hate doing it. It happens. It happens when there's jury misconduct, or there was prosecutorial misconduct, or the like. We have set aside a jury verdict, but it's rare. We hate to disturb those things. In this case, it's the exception.
Yeah, and is the Georgia case the same way? I mean, that never really got off the ground quite like the Manhattan case did. But is that going by the wayside too in your mind?
It is.
Yeah.
There's more. Congestion on that case than there is in many others, just from the standpoint of the special assistant prosecutor that came in and had the relationship with the elected official. So the fact of the matter, she was signing the vouchers for him to get paid. There's so much in that case that seems crazy.
What
to
a
me
world.
Too. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I think if we had common sense, like it or not, wherever you sit, the president of the United States of America has to focus in on one major thing. That is being president of the United States of America. That's it. Our nation comes first right now. Our citizens come first, and that's what he should be focusing on.
Yeah, no doubt. That is Todd Flood of Flood Law. Of course, you can hear him on Behind the Bench every third Wednesday of the month at 7 o'clock here on WJR. Todd, thank you, my friend. Appreciate your insight as always.
Appreciate you, Chris. Be well.
Yep,
thanks.
You do the same. Happy Thanksgiving. 800-859-0957, 800-859-0WJR. That's there if you want to weigh in on it. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Meanwhile, coming up at 3:35, I've got some audio from Harry Enten, one of the pollsters on CNN. Does a really nice job, I got to tell you. And he has some numbers comparing Donald Trump's win in 2008, or excuse me, 2016, to his win in 2024, 8 years later. And the tenor, the view, the feeling among the American people back in 2016 compared to what people are feeling now. I'll tell you, they are, I don't know if we would classify them under surprising, but they're eye-opening. I mean, they are pretty stunning numbers. So I've got audio from Harry Enten. We'll play that coming up, and I want to get your thoughts. And my question is, it's very simple. It's why? Why? How? So we'll do that. I'll play that audio. We'll get to your calls next here on JR Afternoon.